Amen. He don't waffle back and forth. He's straightforward, straight ahead in what it is that he has to say. Amen. Now we find that in our society that sin is running its own course. Amen. Whichever way sin wants to go, it's going. Because there's no word, there's no Bible. Nobody is seeking the kingdom first and his righteousness before they make laws. Nobody is seeking his kingdom first and his righteousness before they open their mouth. I have nothing against the president. But I know for sure he don't seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first before he opens his mouth. This would be a different country if he did. But he don't do that. Our leaders, we pray for them. But they don't seek the kingdom first. As a matter of fact, if he did, he would not be in office right now. Because this is not, what do you call it, cliche. This is not cool. This is not the end thing. This is not the thing to be. I want you to know that you're all outcasts right now. Outcasts in the world. Everything that's in good and going on and happening and hot is anti you. I saw a neighbor the other day out my window, because I'm one of them people that look out my window. So I saw him out there the other day. I know his sons is selling weed. He knows his sons are selling weed. So his sons are out there with their 18 to 21 year olds talking and smoking. And here he comes with his 65 year old self standing up there talking about how he smoked weed in the Bronx now. And they're looking at him and they're very uncomfortable with him being there talking about that. You see, because he didn't realize that you are not cool. You're supposed to be a father figure. You're supposed to be telling us, don't do that. You're supposed to be saying, put that stuff down. You're supposed to be saying, based on the experience that I've had in my lifetime, what this thing has done to me, how it has limited me in my being able to get employment, my education, and in my relationships. Instead of you telling them that, you want to be cool. And as cool as you try to be with them, I could see from the way that their body actions that they were uncomfortable. So now you're a child of God and you go around people and you tell them you're a child of God. You have professed to be a child of God. And then all of a sudden you're trying to be cool with them in some conversation. Don't you know that they're very uncomfortable with you being there in the midst of their conversation? Trying to get in, you're set apart. You're different. They're going to look at you like, what are you doing here? But some of us don't get it. I hope today after you hear this that you do get it. Because if you seek ye first, they expect you to tell them about the word. They expect you to tell them about salvation. That's what they expect from you. You know what? They have a higher level of expectation for you than you have for yourself. Can two walk together unless they agree? You cannot be a Christian and agree with them. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you are not going to line up with foolishness. Amen? We have kids carrying guns to school. We have kids carrying guns to the playground. We have kids carrying guns. What once was unthinkable is now thinkable. Every possibility that you never thought was imaginable is now imaginable. I've never seen so many mothers do so many terrible things to their children. Amen? They're unthinkable. They're unimaginable. I never thought about a father killing his significant other, his wife, and his entire family. At one time, that was unthinkable. It was unimaginable. One time, I couldn't think about kids killing their parents. But it was once unthinkable. It was once unimaginable. I could not think about just terrorists killing innocent people. What was once unthinkable and unimaginable is now reality. I cannot think, I mean, it's unthinkable that you go to get on a plane and somebody has a bomb. Hey, everybody in here at one time or another, when you were in sin, went to the club or you did something, it was unthinkable that somebody just gonna take a gun out and start shooting at people. It was unthinkable. It was unimaginable. But today it is a reality. Sin and sin nature is a reality. The unthinkable and the unimaginable is now thinkable and imaginable. Amen? Even road rage. Yeah, we used to get mad and just throw up a finger or two. How many people drive? Let me see. Raise your hand if you drive. Come on, if you drive a car, raise your hand. Keep them up there. Some of us have, at some point in time, maybe years ago, you could put your hands down, have thrown up a finger or two. I said some things underneath your breath. But now, people are pulling out guns because of road rage. What was once unthinkable, unimaginable, is now thinkable and imaginable. So when you used to react, now you don't react. To get to where you're going, you don't react. Amen? But as a child of God, we should not react anyway. But going to according to God's word, see, it helps you stay on that line that keeps you from being involved in the unthinkable and the unimaginable. Amen? We look at things like same-sex marriage. Once unthinkable. Once unimaginable. Once you wouldn't even consider it. It's a fact of life. Once unthinkable. Once unimaginable. As a matter of fact, as much as we don't even want to confront it and talk about it, it's in your face everywhere you turn. You can't go to the store. I went to the store last night, and the young man, I went to return something, the young man behind the return counter, the only way I knew he was a man because it said Sean. But his hair didn't look like a man, and his fingernails sure didn't, because they were pink and pointed and green and pointed and orange and pointed. Amen? What was once unthinkable and unimaginable is now thinkable and imaginable. Amen? Everything that is negative in the world has crept its way into the church. Everything in the world has crept its way into the church. How about that? Now, it ain't crept its way into the church. It's been in the church. We just didn't talk about it. We were like the military. Don't say nothing, don't see nothing. So it didn't creep into the church. It's been in the church. So we cannot be hypocrites. So what I'm saying to you right now, we have to speak the word of God. See, people don't want to speak the word of God. They don't want to speak the word of God because they don't want their congregation to get a little smaller. They don't want somebody to stop giving. But see, if that one goes or somebody goes because they don't want to hear the word of God, God will bring in more. You cannot not speak the word of God. You cannot witness the word of God. It's not for you to condemn, because none of us are able to condemn one another. But we speak what we know. We speak the truth in love. we act in love above all else. And I have a confession to make this morning. Sometimes I stand up here in the pulpit and I have to make confessions. My confession this morning is that, you know, the people that I'm talking about, the man with the son and the weed, the same people who stole my check. And you know I'm not really lovey-dovey about that and them. Amen? My wife said to me while we was on our knees on Wednesday, she's over there laughing, but she said to me, you have to pray for them, for God to get them to move. They've been moving for the last 4 months. That's why I be looking out my window to see if they moved yet. But she said, you have to pray for your enemies. You have to pray for them to move. You got to pray for God to make a way. As much as you want them to move, as much as they say they're going to move, it's not until God released them to move. So you got to pray for them. And I wanted to know right then and there, my knees started hurting. But I had to start praying for them. Not for them to move, but for God to work in their lives, to do a new thing, to break some generational curses that are going on right there. Not for nothing bad, but for God's good. Because they are a soul. God cares for them. Amen? He cares for them just as much as he cares for me. He loves them just as much as he loves me. When he sees them, he sees a soul. When he sees me, he sees a soul. That's hard, isn't it? But that's a confession that I have to give you this week. That I have to start praying and including in my prayer. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness. That's what I got to start doing. And in God's infinite wisdom and in his time. First lady, please stop laughing. In his wisdom and in his time, things will happen according to his will and his way. Amen? We have statements that we used to always hear that we were one nation under God. That's something that we recited every day when we're in school, but that is now punishable. You understand that you cannot talk about God in our schools. As a teacher, if a kid comes in there that has a demonic spirit and you know that that little kid needs prayer, you can't pray for him. Not in the open. You got to go in the bathroom and pray for him. Go in that closet. You know that little coat closet they have for the kids? Go in there and close that door and pray for that child. Because our children need prayer. They don't even know what's attacking them. They don't even know why they do the things that they do. They don't even know that there's a spirit that is inside of them. They don't even know where that spirit came from. That spirit came from generations ago. Came from somebody else who was doing something that was against the will of God. Come on, somebody. The spirit of drug abuse and alcoholism, it's not nothing new. It's something generations ago. It's somebody doing something. Sexual addictions and stuff. It's somebody doing something years ago. That there was a curse going on. And nobody said, I have to break this spirit and I have to break this curse. Your children are acting out and you just don't know why. You're so ready to take the whoop and beat it out of them and you can't do that. You can't do that. The beating's only going to go but so far. And then there's going to be a certain point in time where you can't beat them no more. Amen? So how do you get them to act right? Seek ye first. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Amen? I don't understand how people who don't follow God or read the Bible, or the people that are always coming up with our morals and our principles and things that we're supposed to abide by. I know that they say that you're supposed to separate church and state. But I believe that somewhere around there, we got to have some kind of voice somewhere. We have to stand up for something. Amen? Because if we don't stand up for something, the church is too quiet. I'm not saying you got to stand up for everything, but the church is too quiet. We're sitting in here, we're too quiet. They don't know that we have a voice. They don't know the righteousness that we live by. People want to be like us. They want to have that peace, but they don't understand how we have that peace. We have that peace because we seek the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And we need to let that voice out, and people need to understand, if you want resolution and you want peace and you want to know what's right and what's wrong, you have to get into the word. You have to understand what it is that we listen to. Because people do look at you. They watch you from afar. They see what you got on. Let me say that again. They see what you got on. Come to church looking proper and clean and all of that. But when it's time to go to work, you got something that don't fit. I ain't just talking about women now. I'm talking about men too. You got stuff on that don't fit. They don't sit on you right. Need a belt. They look at you. How do you witness to somebody who look at you and see something different Monday to Saturday than what they see on Sunday? The Bible is a living and breathing book that still teaches me something every time I read it. The Bible is a book that still applies to all situations. And I know a lot of people have a difficult time with this and have a difficult time understanding that. Amen? Because people say, if you are a Bible-believing, Bible-reading person, how could you hurt me? How could you do some things to me? And I know that there's people, even in here today, who have been hurt by Christians, who are Bible-believing people. Amen? That's because you listen to somebody tell you about the Bible instead of you finding out about the Bible for yourself. Because you're listening to somebody else's interpretation about the Bible. But let me tell you something. I know there's a lot of people who grew up with me and have about the same age that can confess the same thing I'm getting ready to confess right now. People years ago had a very bad misinterpretation of Bible literacy. And what they taught was not what the Bible meant. Therefore, we were hurt by the ill-informed who taught and teach us things that wasn't right. My goal and what I try to do to the best of my God-given ability is to read the word, get interpretations for what the word in the Bible means, so I can explain it in clear English to you to the best of my ability. It's not for me to read the word and say, oh, I understand what that means, because that word meant something different when they wrote it. What it means today, but it means it's two totally different things. So if I take literally what is said without understanding the context of what it was written, I am going to be misled. Amen? That's why we have to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I'm saying this because we have to be on point when we talk and witness to people today. The enemy knows the Bible. I'm going to give you a for instance. I had an appointment on Friday with a doctor. The doctor that I and First Lady went to see happens to be a naturalist doctor. was a Muslim. Her secretary is a man, and he's a Muslim. And I'm sitting up here, and he knows me. He knows who I am. And he's sitting up here, and he's telling me how he is reading the doctrine of Paul. And he's talking to me about Paul. And he's asking me questions, and he wants to know, am I going to agree with what he's saying or not? The point being is that he knows the Bible just as well as I know the Bible. He's taking me to situations in the Bible that Paul writes about, and he's want to know whether I know about what Paul was writing about. You see, we expect somebody from the fruit of Islam to sit up there and keep talking about the black man and this and that. But he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about theology and the Bible and how it relates today. He's telling me about how Paul was going in all of those places in the Middle East, and how that was the predominant area that everything happened in the Bible. I says, yeah, you're absolutely right. I said, but you want to know something? That same center of attention that was there in biblical days is the same center of attention today that's causing all the chaos in the world. Everything that's going on in the world is right in that same place, in the Middle East, around Israel and Egypt. And if that wasn't happening, we'd be sitting pretty here in the United States. We wouldn't have as many worries about terrorists and all these things that are going on. We wouldn't be worried about the price of gas. Somebody say amen. But the same place in the Bible that caused chaos that Jesus wrote about, where turmoil was happening, is still happening today. It is still causing havoc today. So you watch. You know what you're talking about and what you're reading, because the enemy knows. And I'm not saying he's an enemy, but the enemy uses other people to put you on the spot. Amen? I want you to know this morning that there's one thing that is constant in my life, and that's my relationship with God. Even when I didn't want to have a relationship with him, somehow in that song, that grace and mercy, he still had a relationship with me. When I didn't want to have anything to do with God and church and religion, he still had a relationship with me. He was waiting for the time for me to turn around, that I would seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. There's somebody in here today that really don't want to have a relationship with God, but he still has a relationship with you. He still taps you on the shoulder every morning and say, my son, my daughter, wake up. It's time to get up. You might not want to hear me today, but I'm waking you up, because who knows? Today's a new day. Worry about today, and tomorrow will take care of itself. Somebody don't really want to know about the word today, but the word is permeating your heart and your spirit this morning. You came here today because God is saying, seek me first. And everything else is going to turn around, and everything else is going to change. I don't care what's going on in your life. Seek me first. When you seek God first, you start to realize, and he'll start to show you some things that what you thought you couldn't get through, you can get through. All of a sudden, those doors that were closed, they start opening. I can say that this morning, because we've been going through a bunch, me and my wife, with some things, and not about us, but with our children and different circumstances. And God started opening doors and making ways and doing, moving things around, not for us, but for them. Because we seek ye first him and his righteousness. And it's got nothing to do with material things. It has to do with the basic necessity of things, the very things that we yearn for, the things that we hope for. Look, I'm just like you. We have children. We hope the best for our children. When they get caught up in situations, they're going through pain. Their pain is our pain. Your children's pain or your pain. Amen? And then you start praying to the Lord to start opening some doors for them. And then all of a sudden, your prayers start getting answered. There's people I've been praying for, and all of a sudden I start getting phone calls from people, and I say, I've been praying for you. It's good to hear from you. Ain't that wonderful when somebody calls you and you say, hey, it's good to hear you. I've been praying for you. Nobody wants to call you and get berated. They want to call you and hear you say, hello, how you doing? I've been praying for you. Because we're all waiting for that call. When Christ calls you home, you don't want him to sit up there and just start telling you what you didn't do, that you were capable of doing. You want him to say, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. What happens when somebody calls you? Do you beat them down? Or you tell them, I've been praying for you because I've been thinking about you. I've been praying for you because I'm concerned about you. I'm praying for you because I know that God answers prayers. But we don't do that because we don't seek ye first. Sometimes before you start talking to people, you need to talk to God first. Because we don't know what to say. We don't know what to speak. We don't know how that person on the other side of the line is feeling. Life and the enemy beats people up enough. They don't have to call you. They don't have to come to church to get beaten down. There's enough of that going on. We're supposed to be acting in love in everything that we do. Time after time again, I say that I've seen God working in my life because he is in charge, and there's no denying that. Time after time, I see him working in my life, and I know that it's through grace and mercy that he's been able to do that. I know that God gives me peace because he is a peacemaker. I know that God's wisdom and his love is sufficient for me. I'm the person I am today because of all of those things that he has dispensated in my life. All of those things he have given me in my life. All of those ways he has acted towards me in my life. The enemy did so much to me, and let me see if this goes for you. The enemy has done so much to us that if we came into fellowship with God and he did the same thing, would you stay? If it was no better in here than out there, would you stay? No, you wouldn't. We say we could do bad all by ourselves, right? Come on. You didn't come into church to do bad because you could do bad out there. We got to come to church knowing that God is going to turn things around. There is such a thing that's called faith. Amen? We have to have the faith that God is going to turn situations around. We have to know that we serve an almighty God, that one that's outside of time, that looks in time to see what's going on with you. The God that sits outside and say he can turn things around with a woof, just like that. He can turn the winds of change in your life just by a little breath. Woof. Because he is almighty. You don't understand that. I said he is almighty. No, you don't understand that. I said he is almighty. When somebody understands almighty, they start praising that almighty God. They start talking to that almighty God. They start giving praises to that almighty God. We think we're almighty and we like praises and honor when we do something for people, but God on a regular basis does things for you. That's why I let my sister testify this morning, because whenever she testifies, it is giving praise and honor to Almighty God despite of her circumstance. That's when you know that you serve an almighty God. Not when he does something for you, but knowing that he is going to do something for you. You praise him in advance. You don't wait for it to happen. You praise him in advance. You confess with your mouth, your soul, your heart, and your spirit that these things are going to happen. You hold this right here in belief. So when everybody calls you crazy for God, because you do serve a crazy God. He does some crazy things that nobody can imagine. He does some crazy things that nobody can even think about. He does some crazy things that is unthinkable and unimaginable. I said I serve a God who does some things that are unthinkable, that are unimaginable. Because he took a sinner like me that was unthinkable when I was in sin and unimaginable when I was in sin, and look at what he's done for me. Undoubtedly, if I go to people that I knew for over 40-something years that I worked with for a long time, if they look at Phil Boone, they say, oh, that's unthinkable and that's unimaginable. But I got a God that does the unthinkable and does the unimaginable. I got a God that you have a God that's going to do the unthinkable and the unimaginable in your life. You're thinking right now about where you're at, but you don't know that God is going to pull you out and put you to a place that nobody said you was going to be in. You have a disease this morning that God is going to cure. But right now, the doctors are saying, oh, it's unthinkable, it's unimaginable. You'll never walk. You'll never be able to run. But it's unthinkable and unimaginable. But God says it ain't so. All he says is, seek after me first. Seek after me first and worry about today. You worry about today. Tomorrow you walk. Tomorrow you run. Tomorrow bills are being paid. Tomorrow your kids are getting saved. Tomorrow the shackles are going off your life. But there's an order to what he wants. Seek ye first. Don't get into trouble. Start seeking after me. Seek ye first. You're putting all these other gods before you, your money, your house, your relationship. He said, I have no other God before me. You want to get things right. You want things to change in your life. Seek ye first. Oh, hallelujah. It said, let God be first. That word let, that means you allow him. He gives you a choice. You allow him to be first. If you don't want him to be first, guess what? He ain't gonna be first. You know what? Because you need him, he don't need you. He wants you, but he don't need you. He gives you gifts, talents, and abilities. You don't even want to use it. You think he needs you? He don't need you. He put somebody else right in that place. Somebody do the job you're doing even better. God didn't just give you talent, gifts, and abilities. We get bigger than, let me tell you something. I will never get too big for my britches to think that God can't put somebody else here to lead this congregation. I want you to know I'm in the trenches, I'm in the dirt with you, just like you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Sister Thickpin said, oh yeah, you know, Pastor Joy, I ain't that big that I can't join. I got to sit in my office. I got to be out here with the people. That's what I got to do. You run by my office, you make noise, I'm going to open the door and say, hey, how you doing? Knock on the door. Say hello. I'm not that big. I'm not that important. I'm not. Because I can be replaced in a minute. In a minute. But we like to think that we're so important. Let's get it right. And the person who's the most important, you ignore him. He's secondary on your agenda. I love to come to church today, but I got to go to work to get this overtime. Knowing that the government going to take more money than you're going to get, but you got to go get this overtime. Let me tell you something. Overtime, jobs, all of that stuff is going to fail you one day. Because you know what? You keep working that overtime, you become dependent on that overtime. You get it so much that you start living a lifestyle on that overtime. And then when you upset the apple cart and the boss don't like you no more, that overtime goes, dip. Then you know that BMW you paying for with that overtime? You can't pay for it no more. That mortgage you paying because of that overtime? You can't pay it no more. I have to say it because I know it. I did it. I lived it. Church was not for me. Church was not for me. I had too much money to make out there. On a Sunday, I'd make $1,000 doing sports. Sun up to sun down. My wife right over there, she'd tell you, Sundays wasn't, church wasn't for me. But let me tell you something. God requires us to make a sacrifice. He requires us to make a sacrifice. You see, when I could have been dead and I wouldn't be making that $1,000. Amen? And you know what made me realize that? Some fools was playing around and they kicked me and broke my leg and all of a sudden I couldn't go out there and run around no more. So what happened? And it happened on a Sunday morning. I had to come to the realization that, you know what? In a twinkling of an eye, all of this could be gone. In a twinkling of an eye, all of that stuff could be gone. All of that overtime, all of that stuff that you're paying for with that overtime and you not seeking God. Hallelujah. You're seeking other things first. Hallelujah. You're not seeking the kingdom of heaven. When God says, let God be first, it is a declarative statement. It's something that we all don't want to agree with. It's something that we don't want to say amen to. Hallelujah. But you know what? We have to agree with it, and we have to say amen to it. We like to advise people to do things that we don't want to do ourselves. While you're working overtime and somebody's telling you how bad things are in their life, you say, girl, you know you need to start praying, you need to start paying your tithes, and you need to go to church. We like to tell people things we don't do. That's because we know what we should be doing. We know what we should be doing. It's easy giving advice. It's not easy taking your own advice. Anyway, to let, that means to allow, to admit, to acknowledge, to afford the opportunity. So when you let God be first, you allow God to be first, you permit him to be first, and you give him the opportunity. Be means to exist. It means to be real, to be active. When he says, let me be first, he wants to be real. He wants to be active. He wants to be alive in your life. It don't make sense for you to say, well, I'm going to let God be first in my life. And he know you're lying and you know you're lying. Because you're not letting him be real. You're not letting him be active in your life. God is an active God. He is an interactive God. He wants to work with you and through you. When God is interacting in your life, you are alive. You are doing things. God directs you. He gives you opportunities to witness, to do things, to minister. But not only that, he gives you the opportunity to prosper. And you say, how so? Because I don't know too many people that is not active that are prosperous. Come on, somebody. There's not too many people that lie on their back that are really prosperous. They say, Pastor, where did that come from? I'll tell you where it comes from. Because life is real. And I got a daughter that wants to lay on her back and make money. Not sexually now. Let me straighten that out. But she wants to make money while she's sleeping. And you say, well, Pastor, how can you do that? Because she writes books, and she puts them out on the internet, and all time of day and night, people are going in there with their little Nooks and Kindles and iPads and all of these things buying these books. And she's in bed making money. But it ain't always she's in bed making money like that, because while she's in bed, that mind has to be working to write them books and to do whatever she writes about. Amen? So while on one hand she thinks she's doing nothing, but the mind is one of the most powerful things that you got. So she is working. It's your perspective on things. She's working. Her mind is working. She's trying to figure out what to write for the next verse and the next chapter and the next book. Some people use their mind, and some people use their body physically to work. Amen? But you're going to work. Somehow, some form, some fashion. And you get paid for what you are responsible for. She's responsible for writing books. Other people are responsible for making sure lights come on, the water runs. They get paid for that. She gets paid for writing books. She ain't getting paid for nothing, but she thinks she's getting paid for nothing. But when she writes these books, she's all consumed. Up hours during the day, hours during the night to write the next book. She ain't working for nothing. She's using her mind for that. That's how she chooses to use her mind. But you're not getting away with it for nothing. But if you talk to her, she thinks she is. And I try to say that, you know, you're not. So he says, let God be first. To be first means to be the head, to be before all, in preference to nothing else. God is the creator of all that is, all power in heaven and earth, in the beginning and in the end, the Alpha and Omega. And all he says, for me to bless you, let me be first. If you have a situation today that you don't know how to handle, it seems like you can't get through it, I got a solution for you. If you have something that you have no answer for, I got an answer for you. If you don't know what to do with something or somebody, you come to church today, I got an answer for you. Let us stand.